listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. For the Kraken, Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Getting ready for tonight's big matchup. We are going to be sending, we'll be sending at least two lines of NHL players to this game. You can see it if you go up to our website, SeattleKraken.com. We have the projected lines. They're not official, but, those are some of the players who made the trip. So we're going to have a line, our top line, Matty Beniers, Yanni Newman, and Kaapo Kakko is going to be one of them. And then we got Shane Wright centering another one between our team's leading goal scorer last year, Jaden Schwartz, and Jordan Eberle on right wing. You might have heard of the guy.
He had a pretty good career in Edmonton. Yeah, pretty good career in Edmonton. And the captain in Seattle right now. Jamie Oleksiak, Josh Mahura, the local St. Albert boy. He's going to play. You got Olofsson, Cale Fleury, Jugnauth, and Ty Nelson. Those are some young guys more down the road. Do you know who's going to play in goal tonight?
Yeah, it should be Joey Decord and then Nicky Coco. They've been splitting time between the two of them. Decord got two periods during the preseason opener, and Coco finished off the other one. I'm not sure what the exact split is going to be tonight, but it should be some kind of split about that along those lines.
So I know it's preseason, but you've obviously talked to the coach. How different stylistically do you think the Kraken are going to play this year with a new coach?
I think they're going to play a lot more disciplined. The code words that we use are things here like details. It's all detail oriented, and that's code for, you got to play discipline. You got to get, elements of your game down, and you got to stick to it, and you got to execute those elements. And that's what they're looking for. It was a little too loosey-goosey at times, I think, last season. We scored about 30 more goals, and I think we gave up about 30 more goals. So that was a trade-off we weren't really that interested in. We actually need to cut down on some of our goals against and manage to pick up a few goals along the way. That would help kind of narrow that goal differential a bit. And then that'll get us a little closer to the win column in a lot more of these games if we can do that. We've been playing a lot. The style that Lane Lambert likes to deploy is out of the back end, starting with the defense, get the puck out of the zone quickly, move it up, but don't just shoot it out, move it up ice, and generate offense from there, get it through the neutral zone. It sounds really easy. It was when I was playing ball hockey on the streets of Montreal, when I was a kid, but it gets a little tougher when you've actually got professional defenses that could slow you down. So, yeah. They've been working on that all through camp.
When you look at this Seattle roster and, obviously Kakko, Beniers, and Wright, I think, they got some older guys around them, but, to take that next step to get a team back into the playoff hunt and be into the playoffs, those are kind of the guys that are going to have to lead this group. What's your I thought Shane Wright took a big step last year, especially in the final 50 games of the season. How's he looked, and do you expect maybe another step forward for him this year?
I do expect a step forward, mainly because his ice time was very limited last year. He put up the 19 goals that he did, and he was playing fourth line. He was seeing fourth line duty a lot of the times. Now, some of that was protected. He wasn't going up against the other team's top scoring lines all the time, like he'll have to be if he's going to play anywhere in the top three. But, for a first season, that was a good start. And he's been very dedicated. Every offseason, he goes and he works out with Gary Roberts in Toronto and really works on his skating and his explosiveness, his strength. He's put on a lot of muscle in his upper body and some good muscle in his legs as well. So he's become a much stronger skater. His balance is there. He doesn't get knocked off the puck the way he would have, let's say, coming out of junior. He didn't have that much room to go after last season, and then he actually managed to take it a step forward this summer. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he plays. Like I said, he's experienced the league for a full season now. He tasted it a bit those first two, but now he really knows what to expect, and I think his confidence level is about as high as it's ever been.
Well, that's good. Well, how did Kakko do? Was there a little bit of time for him to get used to it in Seattle? And what's realistic expectations for him this year?
No, that's a great question. I mean, you know, just if you like to be a dreamer and dream, I mean, he was the number two overall pick, right? So theoretically, the sky's the limit. But being realistic, we're 6 years removed from that. I think last year he really found his groove once they paired him with Matty Beniers. And so did Beniers. Beniers' game kind of took off when they paired him with Kako on a line. And that's why you're seeing now this will be the second game in a row they've played together in the preseason. They really want to test that chemistry out. And Yanni Newman, again, they want to see if he can break camp with this team. There's a very good chance that that'll happen. And he played very well with those two guys when he was up for a dozen games last year. All he does is score goals. So, I mean, if those guys can click, I mean, they really do play off each other. Kako's got the size, obviously, and he's talked about wanting to go to the net a little bit more to the dangerous areas, use his size to his advantage, because then he'll pick up some more goals. He got a lot of assists last year, and Beniers' scoring really took off because of him, because he was there helping set him up. I think Kako wants to actually score some more goals himself and kind of up that part of his game. So we'll see if he can do that, and those two find a give and go between them. There's a lot of potential there for Kako that I think was underutilized, underdeveloped, let's say in New York. And I think just getting out of that situation, coming to the West Coast, where the spotlight on hockey is not as huge as it necessarily is in the Big Apple, I think that's really given him one less thing to worry about. He's very worried about his game now on the ice more than anything.
Philip Grubauer.
Not worried about it. He's focusing on it. Let's say.
That's fair. So. Philip Grubauer had a decent year last year. And Joey Decord, I think, as long as he doesn't get overtaxed, he's a pretty good goalie. So do you think we're going to see like Philip Grubauer, not necessarily a 50-50 split, although I guess that's still a possibility, right? He's got 2 years left. And when they signed him, they were hoping like this guy would be their main guy. What's kind of your best guess? Is it a 45-35 split? Do you think it's going to depend on how they play? Is Joey Decord clearly the starter? What do you think happens in goal?
I think going forward right now, Joey Decord is clearly the starter. I think he's earned that the last two seasons. Now, how much of a starter he becomes is, you know, that depends on his play. I don't think we're going to see a 50-50 split, no.
Okay.
But if Matt Murray's in that equation, and they haven't ruled that out yet, carrying a third goalie, if he's in that equation, could I see a 50-50 split between Decord and the other two? Absolutely. I think realistically, Decord, I think they would like to look at something in the 55 range. 55% maybe. They don't want to overtax him. So if you've seen the last two seasons, what happened was Decord played lights out all the way through, let's say, January through the All-Star break, I would say. And then if you look at his stats after that, that's when his numbers tended to dip off quite significantly. And it's no fluke. They were playing him something like 19 out of every 21 games at that point, both of the last two seasons. So I think they want to avoid that. I think they would love to get some real competition brewing up behind him. And Grubauer is not some kid coming out of the minors. Neither is Murray. I mean, these are guys that have both tasted big-time NHL success. And so if they can replicate that, I think that would be the best case going forward. But, I mean, Decord, showed he could be a number one goalie the last 2 years. And the amount of goals that he took off the scoreboard were in the top five or 10, let's say, in the NHL. So I think going forward, it's his job to lose. And I haven't seen any sign that he's about to lose it. So I think what you're looking for now is to get some really high-quality backup work behind him to go with that. And then this team will shave some of that goal differential down just on that.
Do you see, and it's super early in camp, but do you see anybody making this team that wasn't there last year, like a young guy pushing up who could make an impact?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's two guys. One of them I just mentioned, Yanni Newman.
Yeah.
I mean, literally all the guy does is score. He had, I think, 25 goals in something like 58 games in the AHL last year, which is, top five in the league. Never mind rookies. He was a rookie last year. And then he comes up to the Kraken, plays a dozen games, scores three goals in his first handful of those games. And then he scored two goals in the preseason opener a couple of nights ago. I mean, there's a big kid, goes to the net, and he's got a shot. He's got a legit NHL shot. And so they do try to feed him the puck quite a bit. He's trying to make this team out of camp. They need more size up front. They've said that in the past. And so he fits all of those bills. What they have to see from him is the skating ability, the ability to keep bringing it night after night. And so they're taking a long look at him. The other kid is Berkeley Catton, who is our number eight overall pick a couple of summers ago. He's torn up the Western Hockey League the last couple of years. And it's the same situation Shane Wright was in. He's too young to go to the AHL now.
Yep.
He doesn't have that much left to prove in junior, if anything. And so they're taking a long look at him right now to see whether, you know, he breaks camp with the team. There's a very good chance that he will, at least for the 9-game trial period. And so there's a lot of eyes on him in camp. He won't be there tonight, but that's the other kid. So if you want to look at Yanni Newman, that's the guy to watch on the line with Veneers in Capocacco.
Well, you look at Berkeley Catton. In the last 2 years in junior, he's had 92 goals and 225 points. So back-to-back, you know, 100-point seasons playing with the Spokane Chiefs, 116, 109 points. If the guy was, like, born 15 days earlier, he'd be eligible to play this year because he's a January 14th birthday. But, yeah, he's lit it up. And I could see them keeping him for a bit, and we've seen other teams do it. You know, the Oilers did it with Leon Draisaitl. They kept him for 37 games, and they sent him back to junior. And they didn't really care about Bird in the year of his entry-level deal. Some teams just like to keep him for the 9 games. They practice him, and then they send him back to the World Juniors. So there are some options for sure, because if you're Seattle, you look and say, okay, Burke, you know, Catton could help us. But unless he's, like, a real difference maker, you're almost better off to keep him around, get his feet wet, but then send him back to junior and then have him come in next year when he's better. And like we saw with Draisaitl, went from a guy who had 2 points in 37 games, I think it was, or maybe far points. Mm-hmm. And then the next year he had 51 points. And then everybody knows what happened to him. I'm not saying that, you know, the Catton's going to be the next Leon Draisaitl, but there is benefits at times to not rushing young guys.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at the situation now, I mean, we basically have our four centermen set for this season, you know, between Beniers, Wright, Chandler Stephenson, and Freddie Gaudreau. I mean, those are guys that you're really not going to displace at the center position. And you don't want Berkeley Catton playing center on your fourth line if he was going to displace any of those guys. And so Catton will probably be playing the wing, you know, for the most part, if he does make the NHL. And you know, we'll see how he fits in at that point. But like you said, you know, and they've had it. The good news is they've had this experience with Shane Wright. He turned out okay. You know, everybody was panicking. Oh, you're going to hurt his development. You're going to do this, do that. And in the end, Shane Wright developed and scored 19 goals in his first full season. I don't think his development was hindered one bit by the experience he went through. And they did this. They did exactly that. They kept him up for the first half of the year. I mean, he played in 8 games, NHL games, sent him to the World Juniors, and then you know, got him a rehab assignment in the AHL, circumvented the rules a little bit there, legal loophole they found. And so he really only had to play a couple of months of junior hockey at that point. And he was a year younger too. So, I mean, whatever happens with Catton this year, it's not going to be the end of the world for him if he doesn't, you know, spend the full season up in the NHL, and he does have to play a little bit of junior. That's not, I think what the problem is, what the point is that everybody gets upset about is when these kids have to go play an entire year of junior hockey and not experience any taste of the professional level. That does, you know, in theory, set their development back quite a bit, but that's not going to happen here in this case.
Yeah, no, that, Vince Dunn, unfortunately, we know he's not going to play, but you got Brandon Montour, you got Adam Larson, Jamie Oleksiak, Ryan Lindgren. I think those guys are obvious. Riker Evans, I think, is probably a no-brainer. So has it really come down to Mahura and Fleury to see who's 6 and who's 7 on the back end?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of it. That's what we're looking at as of right now. Yeah, I mean, Oleksiak still has a year left to go on his contract. And, you know, he's still here, still with the team. As long as he's here, he's not going to be sitting on the bench. So, yeah, it's going to be between those two, I would say. I would say Mahura probably has the edge in that department, given that he played a full season in the NHL last year. Fleury still hasn't played a full season in the NHL. He's had tastes here and there. So, I mean, I think Fleury would really have to do something, you know, above average in order to knock Mahura out of that spot.
I want to ask you about another local guy from Irma, Alberta. Furkus Circus was what they called him when he played for the Moose Jaw Warriors. You know, had a pretty good rookie season in the American League last year, 15 goals, 36 points. How's he looked in camp, and how close is he maybe for pushing for an NHL job?
I think Furkus has all the skills that everybody has touted and everybody's seen over the years. And the big question is the same as it's been from the day he was drafted. You know, how is his body type going to fit in the NHL? Can he get bigger? Can he get taller? And some things you can't control in that regard. You know, so it's it's going to be, how does he adjust to the professional game with the physical size limitations that he has? And, you know, I think he had an adjustment period in the AHL, like every rookie kid has, no matter how big you are. And I think, you know, the more he goes forward as a pro, the better he's going to learn to adapt to that those skills. I mean, judging him here after a game or two, you know, at times where you see the physical stuff come into play is when guys try to move the puck up the boards. Like, can they get the puck out of the zone, or when the other team forechecks you, are you going to start panicking and rushing stuff? And, you know, that at times, you know, he's taken some hits out there. And again, I think it's just getting used to the speed, the size, and he's going to have to learn, you know, to adjust his body, you know, and his size limitations to a league where, you know, every player is big and fast and comes at you like a lightning bolt. And I think it's just going to take him some time. I don't think he's ready for the NHL yet. I think he's got to, you know, do some more adjusting in the AHL this season, and then we'll see where he goes from there.
Awesome, man. I appreciate this, Jeff, so much. We'll see you at the rink tonight. Enjoy the game.
Sounds good.